The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
This is a difficult situation to deal with, and my heart goes out to her because she's someone who's been trying to help others and is obviously ill.
That's the voice of Chris Christie, and the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, got together and decided, yeah, we're going to quarantine healthcare workers that have dealt with people that have Ebola. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. All roads lead through the path to West Africa, don't they? So lawyers for a nurse quarantined in a New Jersey hospital, which is what Chris Christie is referring to there, say they're going to sue to have her released in what they're calling a huge constitutional challenge to the state restrictions now for healthcare workers coming back to New Jersey after treating Ebola patients in West Africa. So much of this stems from, I think, the doctor who came back to New York City who has Ebola is now being quarantined in Bellevue Hospital along with his fiance, a different spot in Bellevue, although she's showing no symptoms and seems to be doing fine and is going to be able to leave. But with the doctor having Ebola, the governor of New Jersey and the governor of New York decided they're not going to take any chances with this. If somebody doesn't, in New York they're saying, if somebody doesn't directly deal with Ebola patients, then they wouldn't have to have the 21-day quarantine. They'll do that on a case-by-case basis. But since the doctor came back from West Africa and had the virus, Christie and Cuomo ordered quarantines for all those medical workers treating those Ebola patients. And they keep defending it, saying that, whether or not you have health experts criticizing the policy or the feds criticizing the policies, you know, this is what we think we need to do for our particular states. And I'm going to say fist pump to both of them because I absolutely agree. Why is it that if you're, as we've seen, the road leads through West Africa? Kent Brantley, the doctor who got Ebola, Nancy Reichbold, who he said it was like going through hell and back. He really didn't think he was going to make it. Then you have Tom Duncan, who's in Liberia, who's a Liberian, who has a friend who is riddled with it, and he tries to do whatever he can to help her, but then flees to meet family in Dallas and infects two healthcare workers who treated him, and he dies from Ebola. I don't think it's so outrageous, and I don't think it's so traumatizing, and I don't think it is putting a stigma on the whole Ebola thing if somebody who directly is with Doctors Without Borders or some other health organization, and they're constantly on a day-to-day basis treating these patients. I don't think it's so far-fetched to have them be quarantined at their homes. I mean, give me a break here. Why did the doctor get Ebola? Why did all the other people that I mentioned get Ebola? What did they have in common? They were in those areas. 5,000 people have died. And part of the reason for that is because a lot of them aren't coming forward. It's too late by the time they do that they may or may not survive. People avoiding the curfew, people getting out of the past and around the checkpoints, in particularly Liberia is really, really bad. So once the doctor came back, why would they take chances in a highly populated area in the United States? The ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, is not happy with this. She thinks the same thing that the White House thinks, that this puts a bad stain on people wanting to go and help people in West Africa and anywhere that they may be treating Ebola, and that it's damaging to do that. But do you think it's damaging, or it's self-preservation for highly populated areas. Our biggest state population-wise is New York City, and New Jersey is right up there, especially in a very crowded area. A virus could spread like wildfire in either one of those two places, and of course, it could spread any other place too as well. And this isn't fear-mongering. I think this is just being sensible, let's face it, by both of these governors. And they really are taking some rapid fire for deciding to take that kind of stand. Now, there are other governors who are saying the same thing, and they'll be thrown into the same pot, but they're not dealing with it right now like Cuomo is and Christie is, because of what happened with, I think, the doctor and the nurse coming back and putting her in forced quarantine, and then her lawyer saying, listen, we're going to sue you. This is what we're going to do. So what do you say, America? 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283. And that was a lot of the reaction, and makes sense, over the weekend. A lot of the Sunday swirl and whatnot was certainly about that. Dr. Richard Bresser gets a lot of attention, certainly, when medical issues come out. And he had this to say about the New Jersey nurse and the nurses in general and their situations.
This is someone who was not sick and is being treated as if she is, in a sense, a leper. And that's not what you want to see. You want to see American healthcare workers encouraged to go over and provide these services. And when they return, that they're treated like heroes, because this is a heroic act.
Yeah, and I agree with him that it's a heroic act, but I don't agree that they're being stigmatized because they're being quarantined. Because if you see what happened with Nina Pham, if you see what happened with Amber Vinson and the fact that both of them had Ebola, ask them if they would rather have not picked that up. Obviously, in treating Tom Duncan and a lot of the things in play in Dallas, they didn't have strict guidelines. Regardless, when somebody is in that situation, they come back. What are the chances that it may be incubating and they may develop it? I look at the cameraman for NBC who knew immediately and cannot say thank you enough to the people in Nebraska who he says saved his life, because he realized it was coming on. He did have Ebola. He did come to the United States and was treated in Nebraska. So I say the same thing. It goes along with the travel ban and the arguments over the travel ban. While you have other areas in Africa saying, no, you can't come in from there, it makes sense, because if you spread it here, it'll just explode among the population even worse. So we can't have that. It is about the spread. It's about not spreading it and stopping it. So how do you stop the world's worst outbreak of Ebola? Which, let's face it, the real deaths and the real concentrated area is in West Africa. But aren't those people who get it potential human bombs with the virus? And the answer is they could be, depending on how badly they have it and who's close to them that could be touched by bodily fluids. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment permanent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-297-0154. That's 800-297-0154.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-297-0154.
Each and every show, we check the mailbag. Got lots of mail from over the weekend. A lot of thoughts still on Ebola and what I think of the quarantine and what you think of the quarantine and all that other sort of stuff and the latest doctor who came down with Ebola. So on that note, let's check the mail.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Jake in Austin who says, Kate, I know I seemingly email you almost every show, but I've been under the weather, so excuse me for missing a few times. That's okay. I don't have Ebola. It seems as though that is the punchline to everything I have to tell you when somebody's out at my office. I know it's bizarre, but that's what people say. I don't have Ebola. I suppose it's a Texas thing, even though we aren't in Dallas, my cube mates and I. So the latest deal is this New York doctor coming back, and they talk about him going to a bowling alley and being on the subway and then quarantining his fiance. I don't understand why in Washington they feel that it's so brisk and abusive, I suppose, in a sense, and it's a stigmatizing thing to have healthcare workers who deal directly with Ebola to not be quarantined, as they could be incubating the disease. And certainly all of us are learning more about Ebola, and that's one thing that we keep hearing from the doctors constantly who are interviewed about Ebola, and yet some of them come out and defend the White House's position to not do the quarantine. Yeah, there was, the answer is what I just said in the beginning. For me, I think they should be quarantined if they deal directly with the patients. I mean, if not, if they were in some other capacity, different story, I suppose. But look, if we didn't think it was such a big deal, I mean, here's the thing that's so weird. So on one hand, in one way, we're saying, hey, nurses and doctors, gosh, we really need you, Doctors Without Borders. We need people. We need bodies. We need treatment. I mean, look, 5,000 people are dead. There's other people that have Ebola. Half the time they're hiding. We can't find them. We've got to do something. We've got to take that stigmatism out of it in West Africa. We've got to treat people and do anything we can because this is ground zero for it. We've got to stop it here because, you know, then when people are out of West Africa, they're bringing it to our countries. Okay, we get it. But when we have soldiers that go over and other people who are helping military-wise, handling blood samples and that kind of stuff, which General Dempsey said scared him to death. There was a big hint there. They have a special ship, and they're going to quarantine all of the military people that are coming back. So, wait, we got to quarantine them, but for healthcare workers, no, let's not do that because that's spreading fear in some way. Yeah, I don't think so. Then why would they quarantine them? Then we would basically be saying any American who goes over there, you're not quarantined. So it makes no sense. That's that double speak. I guess the fear is we're not going to have any people that are going to go over there and help, and we need massive amounts of people. So we have to have healthcare people who are willing to go and do it. If we don't, we're going to be in very big trouble. Here's another one along those same lines, and this one is from Joni, who says, Kate, I've listened to the show. It's one of the first times I've emailed you. I might have emailed you about a year ago. I catch it depending on my schedule. I know you've been talking a lot about Ebola. It's good news on those two nurses because it was scary to think that they had such close contact with the guy who died from Ebola, and I'm really confused as to why there is no quarantine really across the board for any of our people that come in contact with somebody who's got the Ebola virus, whether they're in West Africa or they're someplace else treating somebody and they're really, really in close quarters constantly. I don't understand why people think that's unacceptable. That's what I was reading over the weekend. Can you enlighten me? Well, it's exactly what we have just been talking about, that there's pressure to reverse the quarantine orders, and especially it became a big deal in New Jersey and New York because of the nurse who came back and was quarantined. I mean, it was a crazy, crazy weekend for, I think, Cuomo and Christie with the president pushing to have governors and mayors, because, you know, then you got cities, to not put in any kind of direct quarantine. Because what you have is Casey Hickox, who's in an isolation tent at University Hospital in New Jersey. And she's saying her treatment in mandatory quarantine is inhumane. And she's got lawyers, and they're saying it's unconstitutional. And I think that's part of what set the tone and became the big blast of, yeah, this isn't, we're not accepting this. We don't like this. So we're going to sue. But both of these governors are not backing down. I mean, they're not doing it. And Cuomo's been all over the tube in New York City. He's not bending to the pressure at all. Because they're saying, listen, they can't have a lax policy. Even the mayor, Bill de Blasio in New York, got involved in one of the news conferences and, you know, said the governor was right for developing this quarantine but being flexible. And they're saying, yes, if you did not deal with Ebola patients directly, it's a different story versus anybody who's dealt with Ebola. There's high anxiety in the public all over the place, no matter what anyone's saying, because everybody's focusing on what happened in Dallas and then what the CDC said and the dropped balls. I mean, How do you feel comfortable with the information that you're getting the best information out there when we saw what happened in Texas? So I don't blame the people in New York or New Jersey for feeling shaky and questioning it and going out to town meetings and going, you know, to their city meetings or city council meetings to voice their dismay at not knowing what the policy is and what they would do should there be a problem. I mean, Illinois, Florida, same thing. They're saying, I mean, this is Illinois. Rahm Emanuel, think about that. Chicago, he's the mayor, but think of what Rahm Emanuel, the tightness he has with Obama, and they're saying, we're not going to do that. We're quarantining 21 days if you have dealt with somebody 21 days. I mean, look at what happened with Nancy Snyderman, the NBC news correspondent, goes to Liberia. Her cameraman, boom, contracts Ebola. And then she spreads fear because she lives in Princeton, New Jersey. She went to pick up food, and that story was breaking all over the place, and people were looking at her like, whoa, your cameraman has Ebola. You're back in the United States. And that led to a huge problem. Now you have this Craig Spencer, the doctor who tested positive in New York City, and he's in, you know, he's being quarantined, which makes sense. He's in isolation. All right, quickly, let's go to another one. This one from Bill, who says, hey, Kate, I've been following the show for some time now, and I got to say, attaboy, can't wait to see what happens in these midterm elections. Do you think that in Florida, Governor Scott stays or Charlie Crist comes in? Wow, that's the $10 million question. Nobody knows. It's from all the polls in Florida. It's a dead heat. Does the former governor become the governor again? Does Rick Scott hang on to being governor of Florida? In all the polls I've seen, it's pretty much a dead heat. I wouldn't be shocked if Rick Scott hangs on, but it depends on who goes out and votes. And Florida can be strange in that sense. When you look at how split up it is, the West Coast versus the East Coast of Florida, I think it's too close to call. I think it's going to be one that comes down to the, you know, all the precincts in. I don't know that it's going to be any kind of a runoff where they're going to have that happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was too close to call early in the evening. Let's put it that way. All right, thanks for all those emails. Appreciate it. Coming back on the flip side, did anybody nail the score? What happened in the NFL? We're talking about it next.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Running back to pass, zips it right, and it's caught by the man who caught the touchdown. It was DeVarian Jenkins who fumbled it, and it's picked up by Anthony Barr for a game-winning touchdown! DeVarian Jenkins with a fumble, and Anthony Barr scores the game-winning touchdown!
He steps up. He looks. He is going deep down the middle, and it is caught! And stumbling forward, and going into the end zone is John.
Shotgun snap against the four-man rush. Plenty of time to throw. Short right down. He makes the grab left seat. Stiff arms to defend at the 25. Oh, left side of the 20. Right to the 15, 10. Angling right to the 5. Gronkowski dives to the goal line. He breaks the plane. His third touchdown for the Patriots.
Beast mode. Protein bars for everybody.
Ben rolls right. Throws it.
Everybody in tight. Tailback Ingram. Play action to him. Greens rolls, throws wide open for the easy touchdown. That is Jimmy Grant on a 2-yard touchdown strike.
I tell you what, doesn't get a whole lot easier than that for Jimmy Grant.
It's Patrick under center. Here's Arian. Starting left, modifies some room on the right. Gets straight across the 30, the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Still going to the pylon. Do they give him the touchdown? Yes!
Greg Sirlin tries a line drive kick. Niall Davis will pick it up on the hop at the 2. 10-7 Kansas City beginning play in the third quarter. Davis outside right. Cuts it back by Sirlin at the 40. Kicks in the speed. He's at the 40 of St. Louis. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City!
Spot down. Kick on the way.
Yeah, there was a lot of improbable victories, I think, in week 8 in the NFL. Great job, as always, Matt Johnson. So Detroit 22-21 when I was watching. Atlanta was blowing their doors off early in the morning. I was catching that. I thought, wow, what is going on? And they come reeling back once again. And then there were huge performances like Ben Roethlisberger throws for almost 600 yards, 522 yards, just routing. I mean, just routing the Browns. And you had Minnesota, the mothership. They're celebrating in Minnesota. They beat Tampa Bay, but it took overtime, 19-13. So another win for them. Seattle comes up with the win. It wasn't looking great in that game for them either. In the end, they were able to cap it off 13-9, low-scoring game. I know so many people that do the nail-the-score thing were salivating at the potential of winning. The Cardinals beat the Eagles 24-20, and Jack had the Cards winning it 28-21. As did Nathan, had 28-24, the Cards winning it. Pam had the Cards winning it 27-20. But nobody nailed the score. That was the closest that anybody came to that. Matt, you, of course, we always say this, you're watching. You've got a couple of fantasy teams. And it is an odd season, but it's the same theme that we say over and over again, where you see some improbable victories is the best way to put it.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, it's, every week it's somebody different. You know, we were talking, I think it was last week, actually, about the Steelers and how their offense wasn't playing well, and they threw up, like, 50 points this week. And
yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger, did he set?
Awesome.
Came close to setting a record, I think, for most passing yards in the game. He had, like, 500-some yards. And
522?
Yeah, and then, I mean, you had New England putting up a bunch of points, too, and they've looked weak at sometimes, too. So it's just a crazy thing every week.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was he set team records. He set a bunch of team records with the passing yards.
Okay, then he was short, I think, like 20 yards of like the NFL record then, I think.
Yeah, he was. He was short of the NFL record. But how about that? I mean, how crazy. And you just didn't look like that kind of game. I'll tell you one thing. They had throwback uniforms on. They were the worst uniforms I think I've ever seen in my life. Picture it almost looks like I don't know, old-fashioned prison garb where they had giant stripes with the socks and the jerseys, and then it looked like they had beige in between for the tights. It was very strange, I have to say.
Yeah, and I think one of the weirdest things, though, of this week was that Lions and Falcons game where, you know, not a lot of people saw it. I was definitely asleep because it's over there in England, and the Falcons, you know, it's like the Lions didn't even show up until the second half. They come back, and they've had kicking problems all year long. They finally get Matt Prater, the old Denver kicker, who's actually pretty reliable, but he still missed a couple for the Lions since he's been kicking for them again. They miss the kick to win the game, but there's a penalty on the Lions, or on the Falcons, and then they kick it again, and it goes through. And they win the game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is. It's crazy. That's what I thought. That was one of the craziest ones. I was stunned by that. And then, of course, the other thing is because I always kind of rib you about this, the whole thing with people in Minnesota who are not big fans of the cheeseheads of Green Bay. But Aaron Rodgers gets injured. I mean, he didn't come out of the game.
Right.
He did
by the end because they were getting blown out by so many points. So, yeah, but that's another team where they just completely shut down Carolina last week, and they beat them by about 40 points, and then here they get blown out. I mean, you see it so much this season where it's like week to week where you have one team do well and you think they're on the right track, and then the next week all of a sudden it comes crashing to a halt.
Yeah. Yeah, very, 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 very strange. So I want to remind everybody, because now Matt's going to be able to get in on this, Nail the Score is being moved to Tuesday this week. Our next show, Tuesday into Wednesday, will be Nail the Score in our last segment of our second hour. So nail the score.
And I was actually
Tuesday
wrong about that Detroit Lions game because I thought I had it right in my head. But it was a penalty on the Lions for a delay of game. They didn't snap the ball in time. But when he kicked it, he missed it. I think it was wide right. So they had to go back 5 yards. They kick it again, and he makes it. So kind of helped their own cause by being
incompetent.
Yeah,
so he misses it, and then he makes it.
Right.
Yeah. Crazy. All right, so again, remember, nail the score is going to be on our our last segment in our second hour, nail the score. So who knows what game it's going to be this week, because week 9 in the NFL. Speaking of who knows what's going to happen next, the Giants pull ahead. If you've been watching any of the baseball, the Giants are able to move ahead. They're up 3-2 in their series against the Royals. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of people pulling for the Royals. No offense to Giant fans, but they've become the underdog team, in a sense, the underdog team because of how they just tore it up the season. And you think they haven't been back to the World Series since 85. And there are a lot of jumping on the bandwagon fans for the Royals. I know we have a lot of people listening in Missouri, certainly. And you look at, what they did to get there. And boy, this team now just in a very tight series, dumping this game, and a lot of this was pitching because Madison Bumgarner was incredible. Just absolutely amazing what he was able to do. And here we go again with the Giants. He throws a four-hitter to beat the Royals on Sunday. 5-0. So they have a 3-2 edge now. And the Royals are going to need to be able to come out of this next one and pull it off. Otherwise, they're going to be popping the champagne in San Francisco, and it's going to be another Giant victory. So let's see what happens. I would love to see this go to a 7. Oh, be great if it went to a 7 for all the naysayers who were not excited at all about the Royals getting there. It would be great to see it be pushed completely to the limit. A couple of other quick things to announce with America tonight. Same thing with we're moving up Sports Shorts too. Sports Shorts will be in our next show, so you'll be able to catch that along with Nail the Scores. We'll mix all of that in. More on the what's going on with Ebola and the fight to keep it local, handle it local or stateside versus what's happening in what's happening out of Washington, where they would prefer that there isn't a quarantine unless somebody obviously has Ebola. Sad story here, too, and this just happened. The teenager who was injured in the Washington school shooting died. Jalen Freiberg, you know, this was a crazy thing that the high school where they... where Jalen Freiberg opened fire in the lunchroom. That was, 34 miles, give or take, north of Seattle, someone was telling me. There was one of the injured people, Gia Soriano, was one of the injured people, and she has died. So one of the teenagers injured in the shooting has died. So that's, you know, you had 4 students that were hit, and that brings the death toll, obviously, to two, which is just shocking. She was 14 years old, and she had been in critical condition. She had head injuries, and sadly, she died from those wounds. They just announced this moments ago. Wow, awful. Stay with us. Our weekly re-rack next.
You pick up the the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the city you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the hosts you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
If you do want me, give me a discount. But if you don't want me, don't leave me hungry. But if you need me, show me that you love. And when I'm feeling blue and I want to, there's just one thing that you should do. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, just show me that you're mine, girl. Oh, yeah. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my darling, just show me that you're mine, girl. All right.
If you want me, get me into sweet talk. If you don't want me, don't leave me on, girl. But if you need me, show me that you love me.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Very pleased to welcome to the show family law attorney Jacqueline Newman. And I'll tell you what, some really interesting things, sad things in many ways, are happening in the world of divorce, are happening to so many women. I guess you could say, you know, will be equal opportunity. Things happen to men a lot of times in divorces, but I've seen this over and over again. And we're talking about financial abuse. And Jacqueline certainly knows better than I. Hey, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So have you seen this as one of the major, major things that have happened where you've got women who are the breadwinner, you know, they're let's say, because we'll say the reverse. Sometimes it's the man that's still the main breadwinner, and we'll do both of those. But what if the wife is the main breadwinner and it's the opposite with the man in the background, but he's off doing whatever. Suddenly the marriage falls apart, and do you see kind of shock and awe with the wife when she's in that situation?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a situation where, and that does happen a lot, you know, and I'm seeing it more and more women are entering the workforce. And I think what happens in situations like that, first of all, men can still be very, very controlling even when women are the ones earning the money. But what I see happens in situations like that is that there's a lot of resentment coming from the women in that even when women are the main breadwinners, they're very often still the primary caretakers of the kids. So they're kind of doing everything. And then when, you know, the man goes to leave, they just feel completely distraught and just, you know, the rejection and everything else that goes on with it, you know, it's very heart-wrenching.
When, as an attorney, do you find that you have to really be a digger looking for treasure because there's maybe hidden assets, hidden apartment, hidden piece of a company you don't know about?
I mean, there is some aspect of it. We definitely bring in forensics. We bring in people that do a lot of that. It's actually harder to hide assets than I think many people think. You know, we do full financial disclosure. We'll go back to the beginning of the marriage. You know, situations where there's cash, such as, you know, restaurants, people that own a lot of their own businesses, things like that, it's a little bit easier. And if you've been planning it for a long time, you could probably do it. But, you know, if somebody's, you know, planning on getting divorced in the next year or so, it's not, and you're a W-2 employee, it's actually really hard to hide assets.
Yeah. So you say that on the money side, hard to hide assets, but there's no doubt that a lot of husbands use money to control their wives?
Oh, I think that that's absolutely true. I think that, you know, I've seen so many situations where you'll have, you know, really, really wealthy people, and it happens amongst people that aren't particularly wealthy as well, but, you know, it's more shocking when you have somebody who's so incredibly wealthy and, you know, you have a husband who's making his wife, you know, report to him every single dime that she's spending. I had a case where the husband was earning, you know, a couple million dollars a year, and she had to report when she would buy school supplies for the children. She had to literally give receipts for the pencils that she would buy for her son's school. It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there, when you're working on a divorce like that, that's one of the things that obviously you include, isn't it? If you have to go to court?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that comes up. You know, I practice in New York, and New York is a no-fault state. So while if you can bring it to a point that would actually, what they say, shock the conscience of the court, then it might affect what's called equal distribution. But, I mean, I can tell you it definitely, you know, judges don't like it. They don't like to see people being belittled in a marriage, and they don't like to see when the economic partnership is not being recognized. So while it doesn't have as much of a punch as you would think it would, from a practical standpoint, it's definitely something that we would bring to the court's attention.
Yeah. What's the most, and I bet you've, how many cases do you think you've handled? I bet a ton.
Oh, thousands.
Thousands.
All day long.
Oh, thousands, Jacqueline. That doesn't say much for the Institute of Marriage. So you have seen it all. And this is probably going to be tough for you to think of, but what's one of the most egregious things that you've ever seen in court? Or before you went to court, when in working on a divorce?
The most egregious things. I actually represented, this actually isn't so favorable because I represented the wife in this situation, but we had a case where and it's public record, so we had a case once where my client, the couple had about four kids, and the husband found out that the last child was not his, and the child was 5 years old.
Oh.
And it was pretty devastating to him, as you can imagine. And we actually went to the Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in New York on this, because he tried to claim it was egregious fault, meaning that, you know, shock the conscience of the court. That's the standard. By basically saying that, you know, she led him to believe that this was her child. I mean, his child, I'm sorry. And, you know, he's going to raise this child because the way the courts look at it is that even if the biological father came forward, which did not happen in this case, but even if he had, the court would still say that the husband is still the father of the child based on the fact that that's what the child knows. So he'd still be on the financial hook for this child, even if it wasn't biologically his. And so he tried to say that that was egregious fault, and we went to the Court of Appeals, and ultimately we won, and the court did not say that was egregious fault. But it was a very heart-wrenching, you know, five-year case.
Oh, wow, 5 years. So, and you know this, too, because you've handled so many cases. Sometimes, eventually, someone gives in and you settle it up and that's great, but it sounds like you've been to court a lot. Does that happen too, where someone says, take me to court, I'm ready, I'll just ride this sucker out?
Yeah, no, it happens a lot. I mean, you know, our practice, we do other types of divorce. I tell people there's three ways to get divorced: is mediation, collaborative law, and litigation. You know, and I tell people all the time that when it comes down to it, you know, odds are you're going to settle your case. It's just a question of when. But I've had clients that have said to me, you know, my big line is that, you know, you want to pay for your kids' college or mine. You choose. And I've had people that have said, look, I'd rather you get the money than her because at least you've earned it.
Wow. Wow. That tells you something. I love that line, too. That's classic that you say that. Do you, and is it equal opportunity? The then can it be as bad as the women and vice versa?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there's, you know, they say a woman's scorn, but I can tell you, men, they both want blood. You know,
they both want blood.
It's an equal opportunity situation, no question.
Wow. So it's you know, like the War of the Roses totally exists, doesn't it?
Oh, it absolutely exists. Sometimes I look at that movie and I think it's tame.
I love it. Jacqueline, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll have you back on again. You were great. Thanks.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the reference there of War of the Roses. If you remember that movie, remember Kathleen Turner was in it and Michael Douglas? It was brutal. It was a black comedy, needless to say. And somebody told me about it. Cause when it came out, I didn't see it when it came out. And then I guess I rented it at some point. And, oh boy, how I ever got after watching that movie. And it was, the people in the movie had actually been in, if you remember, Romancing the Stone and The Jewel of the Nile. It was kind of a hot time, I guess, for Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner and Danny DeVito, because they were all three were in it. And it's the married couple's name, family name is Rose, and that's what the whole thing is in a reference to, actually the battles between the houses of York and Lancaster. And at the end, you know, the Middle Ages, which it's not a veiled reference. It is a reference if you know anything about, history. And the marriage is just brutal. I mean, the marriage starts to fall apart. Not in the beginning. I mean, they're all excited. They get married, the whole thing. And then the material possessions become the main thing about this incredibly outrageous divorce. It is so bitter. So when Jacqueline says the thing about, you know, whose college do you want to pay for? My kids? Or, you know, yours, or, you know, that reference is hilarious because it's so true. In some of these cases, they can drag out forever. And that's, you know, that's the whole idea. Often that's the strategy, I think, for some of these people when they take it all the way into court versus, as she mentioned, there's other ways you can settle. You can do a mediation. You can do collaborative law. You can use collaborative law, which is supposed to be the gentler, kinder way to divorce versus having to go through the whole system and all the time and everything else that it takes. But boy, she's spot on when she says it, because I have heard that from more attorneys who say it's like taking a meat cleaver and just this severing the ties. And often it's about blood, guts, and revenge, I guess, in a sense, for whatever happened that time of the marriage. So interesting stuff from Jacqueline Newman talking about divorce and family law, especially when the statistics say, sadly, that marriage is down. It depends on who you believe, but I hear below 50%. Of course, there's no scientific way to prove that. All right, hang on. Much more to come down the road here on America Tonight.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.